everyone, and welcome to Behind the Numbers. My name is Dave Bookbinder, and we are coming to you live from the beautiful RVN Television Studios. Today, we're going to be talking about how to unlock your creative genius in business. And I'm pleased to welcome Rich Kirkpatrick, who is the author of Mind Blown, Unlock Your Creative Genius by Bridging Science and Magic. Hey, Rich, welcome to Behind the Numbers.
Hey, glad to be here.
Excited to have you, because in the business world, you don't always think necessarily that creativity is a good thing, but we're going to dive into that. And why don't we start by talking about how you might define creativity?
Creativity, obviously, is something that has to have some value, of course, but it's also something that's new, maybe perhaps we've never seen before. And so those two qualities are usually what people say, hey, that's creative, because it's something I haven't seen, and we sure need that thing.
Right. And when we think about creativity in business, in certain industries and segments, certainly being creative is of value and it's required for a role. But when you start to think about creative bankers and creative accountants, you may have an intuitive feeling that maybe that's not such a great thing. Talk about why creativity in business is so important.
There's a couple of reasons why. The first reason is this, that business is about leadership. It's about leading people to follow your brand. It's about leading people to trust you. And that involves a process. So I would say one thing that makes creativity important for business is the fact that it's a process, not just a product. So when we're creating something, we're going through a process. And of course, you know, there's accounting processes, there's sales processes, there's things like that that are very important. We get data and all those kinds of things. But how do we look at them in the big picture? How do we let them follow our values, for instance? And so creativity is really about checking what our process is.
Yeah. Why don't we unpack what the creative process is? How do you actually go through that, as you talk about in the book, the science versus the magic piece?
The science and magic piece are really important because there are these two parts. For instance, there's innovation and there's art. There's logic and there's imagination. We obviously know people like me who are artists or trained. You know, we have this is a crazy artist person, right? We get up in the middle of the night, you create something. That's very true. I call those, you know, that's what we are, as wizards. And there's the robots. Those are the accountants, like everybody who's an accountant. He's a wonderful professional person, and he has to get processes done and things like that. And that's like science. And so it's kind of like the robot. And so these two things really are part of creativity. And when we learn to bridge between, let's say, innovation and art, what we're saying is we're taking something that is abstract, but we're bringing it to the real world. And that's why creativity is so powerful, because it could bring possibilities into being. And that's really what the creative process is. It's taking things from an idea to something that actually you deliver. So whether it's even a sales process, for instance, that you're changing and you're trying to train people in it and trying to troubleshoot, that's really what creativity is.
So you touched on the process piece. Give me a little bit more feel on the magic side.
The magic side's really important. Now, I was always told as a kid, don't trust yourself. It's kind of this really strict environment I grew up in. And people, I think they meant well, because, you know, kids, some of us are kind of crazy. But your imagination is really important. That's a part of us where we see in pictures in our brain. And we are all wired as humans to see things in this way. And 80% of us prefer to not see things that way, because our society trains us in language and data and things like that. And we value that, and we should. But the other side's also important. And 20% of us that prefer that oftentimes are left out because we see things in pictures. Imagine this. What if those pictures are able to see things quicker? So in a business environment, they have what they call multi-framing. When I read researchers, when they talked about this in creativity, you had to be able in business to shift between, let's say, the big picture to the granular things. And that kind of process is really takes imagination. It takes somehow getting out of my music theory teacher, which music theory is really math, by the way, for those of you who aren't musicians. He would always, Dr. Setzel, he would always go like this as we were getting further from the truth of what the music piece was supposed to be doing, and going back. And that perspective, being able to have perspective. And so if we can grow our imagination part of ourselves, we might have a deeper perspective that really helps us be faster.
Yeah. And I think now would be probably a beneficial time for you to share with the audience, Rich, a little bit about your background and, you know, what we'll say qualifies you to speak on this topic and what inspired you to write the book.
Well, part of it is like that, like what I just mentioned, as a child, I was always told, okay, you're always in the corner drawing or whatever you're doing, lost in your world. And so I kind of wanted, something was wrong with me. So I wanted to, as I became an adult, I said, it can always be true, because what's happening is I'm becoming successful in my music field. So I've been a church musician for most of my life. And in that, I got to a point where I was also training others who were leading. And some of us, you know, we had, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of budgets to manage, staff to manage, copyrights and legalities and things like that, which are really complicated. They don't train artists necessarily to do that. So I had to kind of work in this environment and learn that, hey, this is not a separate thing for me being able to be creative necessarily. And when I started teaching others how to do this with my first book called The Six Hats of the Worship Leader, a lot of people come up afterwards and say, but what's your creative process? And I didn't know what to tell them. I didn't really have an articulation for that. So I went and researched over the last 6 to 8 years of what this really was, because I wanted to find it out. I wanted to be rigorous about it. When I got a master's degree not too long ago, it was in leadership, because I wanted to see how me as a creative person could express what this process is, because it really is a process, not just a product.
Yeah. And can we unpack the process just a little bit? Is that okay with you?
Oh, sure. So the process is like this. There's three stages in it. There's where we discover an idea. There's where we discover an idea, develop the idea, and deliver the idea. And so in these three stages, what we're doing is we're forming something from strictly the napkin at the restaurant where our idea comes, we're brainstorming somewhere, to where we rigorously are trying to build prototypes or developing it. And then when we deliver, we find out, how is this thing going to actually get built and done and delivered out to the world? And so the creative process, they've been studying it since the 1920s, psychologists, and it's become a multidisciplinary thing. You have people in the business world, people in the academic world, neuroscientists, and so forth, who are confirming this kind of thing. And really, quickly, there are four basic things that they've all had consensus on. The first thing is a preparation, where you begin to get your reservoir of what it is you're going to create with, ideas and so forth, who you are, your skill sets, your aptitudes. But the second thing then is incubation, where now that thing has to kind of fester inside. And just like the cow has to chew the cud in order to make milk, you have to be able to give your ideas that space and time. And that's a part of the process. And then there's what we call creativity, but really is the third step, because it's the one's most exciting. That's illumination. That's kind of the eureka moment, like, aha, the idea came to me. And the last thing, of course, is elaboration, where we get this idea out to the world. We build it and put it together. So those are the four basic things where in a discover, develop, and deliver, the process actually plays itself out. And you can troubleshoot those things too to find out where is it that I need to actually focus on in order to improve getting things out the door.
Yeah, so much good stuff right there. And man, we could spend an entire episode on each one of them individually. But when you start at the top of the tip of the iceberg, the top of that funnel, so to speak, where you first have an idea. So does the inspiration have to come to you, or can you set an intention, for example, I want to write a book, as opposed to I have a great idea and I need to make it into a book? Does that make sense?
Yes, I think it's yes and yes. Scientists have basically said we have robots and wizards, and we both create, but we start differently. And this is kind of where some of us think maybe we're not creative, because we want to kind of set all the details first. We want to have kind of perhaps the project outline done first, if you will, or whatever that is. And that's a perfect way to begin creating. Scientists, for instance, have to figure a hypothesis and develop a process in order to test it. Well, the artist on the other side is someone who will get some kind of inspiration where intuitively then they decide that's the point where they start creating. The thing is, both of these things converge at some point. And at that point, we then really are so much more alike as human beings than people would imagine.
Yeah, Rich, tell the audience how they can connect with you if they want to learn more about you or want to work with you.
I have a website called RK, for Rich Kirkpatrick, rkblog.com.
Simple enough. And where can we find the book?
The book is on Amazon or any other seller. It's available in audiobook all over, whether you're Spotify or Audible. And hopefully you'll enjoy it.
Very good. Rich, we're bumping up on a commercial here, so you sit tight. Folks, you at home watching and listening, don't go anywhere. We have to pay a few bills, but we will be right back after this quick break.
Un ataque cerebral puede ser fácil de detectar. Su ser querido no logra hablar o quizás no puede moverse. Pero existe otro síntoma de ataque cerebral que muchos de nosotros no vemos. Se llama negligencia espacial y puede ocurrir durante o después de un ataque cerebral, causando movimientos visuales distorsionados. Afortunadamente, existe una solución que utiliza tecnología óptica basada en prismas durante la rehabilitación. Si usted o su ser querido experimenta un ataque cerebral, pregúntele a su doctor sobre la negligencia espacial. Encuentre más información en kesslerfoundation.org.
Wait, I have you surrounded. You just gonna stand there?
Or are you gonna take your lawn back?
We're gonna take it back.
We're gonna take it back.
With Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action, it gets three jobs done at once. Kills weeds, prevents crabgrass, and keeps your lawn growing strong.
Glorious!
No, no.
Get a bag of Scott's Triple Action today. It's guaranteed.
Feed your lawn.
Doug.
Hey, man. Nice base. Clearly, you're a safe driver. You could save hundreds for safe driving with Liberty Mutual.
They customize your car insurance, so you only pay for what you need.
Woo! We gotta go again.
Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
I learned how quickly everything can be taken away. 1 minute, I was playing college football. The next, I was paralyzed. I'm Eric LeGrand. I believe I will walk again, but also know what I can do now. I'm applying my love of the game as a sports broadcaster and inspiring others along the way. Only my abilities matter. Visit Kessler Foundation on Facebook and tell us your abilities and go to KesslerFoundation.org.
Hey, welcome back to Behind the Numbers. I'm Dave Bookbinder, and we are talking with Rich Kirkpatrick about why it's so important to be creative in business. And Rich, I want to pick up from where we left off before the break and ask, why do so many people get stuck after they get the bolt of inspiration or the idea to do something like launch a new product, enter a new market, write that book, start a show, whatever it may be? Why do we get stuck after that?
And there's a couple of reasons I think why that might happen. First of all, when we talk about those four steps where you had the incubation phase, that's where things seem dormant. So you start your creative process by getting the inspiration. You have this idea. And then there's a period of time where we have to rest, where we have to literally give ourselves space. So in groups of people, it's true as well as individuals, where we have to have that idea kind of fester and incubate, if you will, back in our head. And so sometimes we look at that as nothing. We only look at that point of inspiration because that's the exciting part as creativity, when really the hard iteration is also part of it. And so if I'm, as a musician, I'm composing and I get a writer's block, that doesn't mean I should stop, but it means maybe I should stop that particular part of it and do something else. Or maybe it's tend the garden or go for a run or something, in order for me to then get some space. And that could happen in the macro, like say it's months or years, or it could be in the micro.
Right. And somewhere in this, we, I guess, are dismissive of some of our ideas because of the head trash that we carry around and thinking that, you know what, that's not really a great idea. Nobody will like that book. Nobody will like that product and so forth. So getting into the psychology piece of this, how do you overcome that fear, if you will, of failure, really?
Failure is really part of creativity. And that's really the tough part if you're in business, because then it costs you something. But you also, you have to give yourself in this process, the development part. So, you know, we have the discovery of ideas, and that's really where if we get stuck there, you just got to keep working for inspiration. That's the other part of the answer. What you asked before is we have to work for, we have to find the inspiration. But now what you're talking about here is we have to also be willing to kind of put parameters on things to get us to the next level. And so sometimes that is really, you know, making decisions of value and saying, this thing is really fitting me, even if no one understands it. So let me take it further. Let me make a prototype of it. Or as Disney does, they have whole theme parks they put in a drawer and they wait 20 years later, then they build it. So sometimes it is a matter of timing. But that really is part of the process. So to develop something in the sandbox is these are the three metaphors for the discover, develop, and deliver. There's the dream, because it's in your head. And there's a sandbox where you're playing with it. Because like in the tech field, you know, you have your software, you got to run it. And any process you do, you actually want to test it before you go public. And so sometimes that gap feels like the no man's land, like nothing's really happening. But really, that's where the magic is, I think.
So for everybody out there who's listening to this and thinking to themselves, I don't have a creative bone in my body. What do you have to say to them? Do we all have the ability to be creative?
Oh, yeah. The aptitude for who we are as a species, as human beings, the scientists, the anthropologists, and philosophers, those of us who are in people of faith, all agree on this fact is that we are creative beings. But what that means is it may not look the same for everybody. So, you know, like I said, the robot and the wizard, it's really important to understand that you might be the robot and you might create first with a starting point that looks like a plan, for instance, or direction or an experiment if you're a scientist. Or you may be like the wizard where you're moving so intuitively that you're not aware that you are doing those structures, but you start at that place. So that, yes, you are creative. The scientists say our brains were wired differently than any animal. And that's really fascinating to me that it just really, if there's one thing that's true out of all this thing that there's some certainty to, I would say is yes, you are.
So I want to get back into a little bit of the psychology, the science and the magic component and talk about where our best ideas come from. And you hear it often that some of the best ideas come from when we're in the shower, when we're driving to work, when we're brushing our teeth, when the brain is sort of on autopilot, right? There's not a whole lot of other stimuli around us. But where do we get our best ideas?
Best ideas really do come from within. And what that means is you have to intake. Inspiration is really breathing in. And so as you breathe in, throughout your life and experiences, as you read, that's why it's important to be a person who's taking new information in all the time and learning from others. As you're having that drink with somebody who you want to learn from, that is part of your creativity. And so that is the thing that will help you. One of the things is taking more things in. But let's say, just take curiosity, for instance. How do I be curious so I can see different things that are out there in front of me? Because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's already right on my lap or inside of me. And curiosity is something we used to do as little kids before we had like Game Boys and stuff to play in the car on road trips. Used to like, okay, how many orange cars can we find on the interstate traveling as a family? And at first it was very hard to find them. But the funny thing is, all of a sudden you started seeing orange cars everywhere. It's like, you know, here in the Bay Area, you look for a Tesla, all of a sudden you see 1,000 Teslas all over. It takes one act of basically telling yourself, I want to look at something new. And so there is processes for this. You mentioned something about, you know, how do you get in a state of flow, I think you were talking about. So how do we get that where things start flowing out? And those are kinds of exercises that are, I go in some in the book about that, but how we can find that. And so curiosity is just a great place to start because Where is something I'm looking for that I'd like to see, but I don't see much of? Training yourself to do that.
Yeah. And as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about, should businesses be like intentional in creating meetings, so to speak, around the brainstorming of creativity, around new ideas and things like that? Or how does that process work? What's your advice there?
Well, what happens sometimes, brainstorm meetings, they really are terrible. Because what happens is we try to do two things at one time. We try to execute. Business is about execution. And there's no doubt that the most successful people are about having a process that works and they can just deliver that process. But the front end of that is, like you said, come in with the ideas. So you have to separate basically the idea of discovery of let's find new ideas. Let's find inspiration. Let's intake some things without having the pressure in that one moment of in sorting through those. And that's really the robot and wizard. This is what we call divergent thinking, convergent thinking. And we talked about the 80 and 20%. This is really the brain networks that are involved in creativity. So we have to turn the default mode network, which is the part of us that kind of, we just let some thoughts in, but intentionally, either the rule in a meeting one time. And then we have to somehow go even a separate team, it could be, or a separate situation where then we start to develop those ideas and see how they can be implemented. That's a way to take, in a business situation, a team from the frustration of just writing things on a whiteboard and seeing people nod off to actually people getting engaged and excited. And I would suggest for businesses to basically find the different robots and wizards and either have two meetings or have them all act as robots in one and all act as the wizard in the other. And that might help a lot.
And is that really the secret sauce that differentiates the companies that we can think of that are innovative versus the ones that are not?
Oh, I would think that's part of it, is understanding how this product, this dance between science and magic, as if you will, learning what that is, and it does have a place. Obviously, there's a place where you have to have the science. But if you never have the magic, if you never have a place where you could dream and have a vision, then you're never going to have that vocabulary in order to be able to enunciate, here's what all this process should really produce.
Yeah. I want to take this conversation all the way back to the beginning of the program where you talked about leadership, and help us to understand how being creative makes us better leaders.
Well, there's this idea of being on the balcony versus the dance floor. So we're in the balcony, and some business researchers, you know, they explain it this way. You have to be able to see the big picture, obviously, but you also have to see what's going on the ground floor and the granular. But the ability, though, to go back and forth is what makes a really good leader, to be visionary, but also to understand kind of what's going on ground floor. And that's what creativity, science and magic again. The other part of that that's exciting is multi-framing. So let's say there's a frame of politics, and there's a frame of HR, there's a frame of structure, and there's a frame of symbolism. And those are the four frames that researchers have basically identified. If a business person has to go between this multiverse, like the Spider-Verse or Marvel, for instance, in order to succeed, because you have to be able to go between these zones in a very quick manner to get all the data in front of you to be able to assess its impact on your business. So if it's an HR issue, you have to focus on HR, but that's not all your business. You have politics. How do we survive in this environment? And then you have, of course, structures and business processes and things like that. But you have symbolism. Like, how is our ethos still being expressed? And so those four zones, for instance, or multi-frames as they call them, it takes a lot of creativity to go between those.
Rich, for everybody who's out there and they're eager to get in contact with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
You can find me on LinkedIn. You can also find me, my email's rich@rkblog.com.
Awesome. Thanks. Let's talk about stretching, some goals. How do we reach beyond where we are today and maybe even beyond where we can see today?
I think that what that is giving yourself permission to find a space where you can rest, but also find a space where you can fail at be bad at something. And then whether that's a hobby or what that might be for some of us, because we don't want to fail in our business situation, but we need to find, as a human being, space in order to intake things in life, to be inspired by what's around us, but also a place where we can grow and find new possibilities and find where that could be safe to do that.
Great. And throughout this conversation, you've helped to really debunk the myth about, you know, creativity in business and why it may not be a good thing necessarily. So we've broken that code, and we've alluded to a number of the benefits, but I'm wondering, not to put you on the spot, is there any data or anecdotal things that you can share with us that really speaks to the benefits of creativity in business? Is there anything that correlates to creative cultures, if you will, and the key performance indexes like growth in sales and profitability, things like that?
Well, I think that, you know, when you are able to take something that's, this is kind of a bigger picture answer for that. If you're able to take something that's not just innovative where it's novel and new, but it also addresses a human pain, then I think what we have is a better product, a better service, a better process. So for instance, I tell a story in there where my wife and I went to Paris and we had this incredible experience at this little bakery, and everything was very well done intentionally. And the line was out the door. So business was booming at this place. But what they did is they took something and they made an ethos out of it, where you could see their vision in every little piece. You can only find this by going around the corner from the line to find it. And so for those particular reasons, I think we have to be willing to see the human side sometimes. And that involves empathy. So you can be both very bold and cutthroat, I think, out there, but you can also be very empathetic and also find out what people really need and how they're going to really respond. In the long run, I think that's better for all of us.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's interesting that there's a recurring theme on this program when we talk about leadership and effective leaders. The word empathy always comes up. Rich, we're down to about like the last 2 minutes in the program here. So I want to just sneak in one more thing and give you the final word. I'm sure there are folks out there watching and listening who would really love to know some actionable tips that they can maybe use today or tomorrow and how they can become more creative, how they can unleash that creative genius.
I think what we need to do as a creative person, first of all, is give yourself, find out if you're a robot or a wizard and embrace that. But when you are find your comfortable side, whether you're a robot or wizard, be also willing to embrace the opposite of that. So for me, I'm the wizard. I had to show up on time for meetings, for instance, at one point as a young person, because I get lost in my creativity. And so I had to learn things that the robot did, you know, which was scheduling. And back then we had Frankies and daytimers and things like that. And when I had that skill trained, it just made me more creative. And the opposite's true. Maybe I'm so good at being the robot in the process that I need to learn to dream. I need to learn to envision. And so maybe there's things that I need to do, if that's who you are, to learn from the wizard, to find inspiration. And all of us have things that we love to do. And so one simple thing here is to find out, whether it's gardening, I'm sure people like golfing, whatever it is that you love to do, don't deprive yourself of what it is that intakes, that you can intake inspiration and breathe it in.
Well said. And on that note, we're going to have to wrap. Rich, thank you so much for joining us today on Behind the Numbers. This was a great conversation.
It's been my pleasure.
Thanks again. Folks, we've been talking today with Rich Kirkpatrick, who's the author of Mind Blown, Unlock Your Creative Genius by Bridging Science and Magic. Definitely check that out. I want to thank the Big Cheese for running the board today. Always a great program when he's behind the wheel here. My name is Dave Bookbinder, and I'm the one that my clients turn to when they want to know what their most important assets are worth. I'm known for helping people in figuring out the value of their businesses. And if you're a business owner out there and don't know the value of your business, and apparently 98% of you don't, we should probably have a conversation. So please connect with me on LinkedIn. Thank you out there for watching and listening. We can't do without you. We really appreciate your support of this program. And that is all we have for today, folks. We'll see you next time on Behind the Numbers. Take care, everybody.